Great. Thank you to the organizers for inviting me to give this talk. My plan is to tell you a little bit about vector both and fusion in general. Then, okay. This way?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. So I will sort of set the stage by talking a little bit about next to leading order QCD corrections to vector boson fusion processes in general, and then focus on what is the topic of my talk, namely matching of these calculations with parton shower programs. And if I have time, I will show you a few phenomenological analyses that we performed together with Julia. Okay, as most of you know, vector boson fusion is a very important process at the LHC, and it has basically two important implications. First, it is a very important search mode for the Higgs boson, and it is so clean that we hope that in this mode we can also learn a lot about Higgs couplings and its CP properties. On the other hand, if we go beyond the standard model, these vector boson scattering processes are very sensitive to the mechanism of electroweak symmetry breaking per se. And they are also rather clean. It is sort of easier to suppress QCD backgrounds than in other channels. So the big advantages in both sort of applications is that the backgrounds can be controlled. And this is due to the very specific event topology of vector boson fusion events, where basically quarks scatter by exchanging color-neutral weak bosons. And then these weak bosons emit, for instance, a Higgs boson, and there is very little jet activity in the central rapidity region due to this color-neutral gauge boson exchange. The scattered quarks then give rise to two forward detect jets, I mean in the forward and backward region of the detector, and these can be used to sort of select the signal on top of the backgrounds. And the nice feature is that the decay products of the Higgs boson are typically in between the two detect jets. The next to leading order QCD corrections to this class of reactions are known for quite some time because they are sort of simple. Yeah? They are basically nothing than DIS corrections to either the upper or the lower piece of this process. The inclusive cross-section has been computed in the early 1990s by Hahn, Valencia, and Willenbrock. And about 10 years later, also flexible Monte Carlo programs became available that include distributions in a flexible manner. Those are now implemented in VBF and LU and also in MCFM. All these calculations revealed that the next to leading order QCD corrections to this class of reactions are rather moderate, of the order of 10% or even less. But some of the distributions can change shape at next to leading order. While the QCD corrections are rather simple for this class of reactions, the next to leading order electroweak corrections are really demanding, and they have been computed only a few years ago by Dittmeier and collaborators. And what they found is quite interesting. They found that the electroweak corrections are almost of the same order of magnitude as the QCD corrections, and they can significantly distort distributions, especially distributions that are not affected by QCD corrections, yeah, like angular correlations. SUSY QCD electroweak corrections have been found to be rather small, less than 1% for typical MSSM parameter points. Then, also, some subsets of the virtual two-loop corrections have been computed, and all of these have been found to be very small, yeah, for several reasons. And also, interference effects with other Higgs plus two-jet production modes have been found to be absolutely negligible. So this tells us that this class of reactions is really well under control. But let's now look at vector boson scattering, yeah, where we don't necessarily have a Higgs here, but just some sort of weak boson scattering reactions to gauge bosons scattering and producing two other gauge bosons. These class of reactions are extremely sensitive to anything that happens here in this channel, so to the pure gauge interactions of the electroweak sector. And you may remember from your lectures, master lectures or something like that, that Higgs boson scattering processes really require the existence of the Higgs boson or some other new physics, because otherwise these scattering amplitudes grow with energy and would violate unitarity. So this is a very strong hint towards the existence of some new scalar particle like the Higgs boson. And if there is no Higgs boson, there must be some other new physics in this channel. So for instance, in some toy model where there is a new W prime, one would really see very strong strong enhancements in the invariant mass distributions that describes this final state here. Yeah? In a standard model, if we really compute the full 2 jets plus 4 lepton final state, this calculation is quite demanding, because in the experiment we don't have 2 gauge bosons plus 2 jets, but we have either 4 leptons or 4 quarks, or 2 leptons and 2 quarks that result from the decay of these weak gauge bosons. Yeah? The advantage of the leptonic decays is, of course, that we have a very clean signature. On the other hand, statistics is rather low. If we just look at the hadronic decays, we gain a lot in statistics, but of course also the backgrounds are large. And now these calculations have been implemented in a Monte Carlo program, VBF NLO, for the fully leptonic decay modes, yeah, for W plus, W minus, CC, W plus C, W minus C, and same sign W pairs. Implementing these processes in a flexible Monte Carlo program has the advantage that it is possible to implement cuts and whatever the experiments require in a rather straightforward manner. Yeah? What are the ingredients of the next leading order calculation? At Born level, we have about a few hundred diagrams, yeah? And they all have to be taken into account. Then for the real emission, we basically have diagrams where a gluon is attached to any of the quark lines and also crossing-related processes with incoming gluons, which gives rise to several thousand diagrams depending on the final state. So it is really important to organize the calculation economically. And then we also have to take care of the virtual contributions. It turns out that the bulk of the virtual contributions is proportional to the Born, but the piece that is really difficult to compute and contains pentagon contributions is finite and can be determined numerically by the tensor reduction methods that have been developed by Denner and Dittmeier. So once these virtuals are combined with the real emission contributions, within the dipole subtraction approach, we get completely finite results, and the phase space integration can be performed numerically with a Vega-based integration method. At next to leading order, results turn out to really stabilize. This is a plot that shows the cross section as the function of the scale parameter. We set the scale here in this plot to a multiple of the weak gauge boson mass. And what you can see here in black is the leading order prediction, which has a rather strong dependence on the factorization scale. But this dependence is really going down quite a bit at next to leading order, which is shown here in this red line. So this tells you that sort of the theoretical uncertainty is really significantly reduced at next to leading order. Okay, but finally, one wants to get more realistic simulations that not only include next to leading order corrections, but also things like underlying event, Barton shower effects, and hadronization. So to this end, it would be nice to be able to merge the next leading order calculation with Barton shower programs like Pythia, Herwig, or Sherpa. The idea is the following. The hard partonic scattering that is symbolized here takes place at the hard scale Q that is much larger than lambda QCD. Then subsequently, there will be some Barton shower effects that take place at smaller scales, but still above lambda QCD. And the final stage is then hadronization and decay at a scale lambda QCD. So this piece sort of can be safely described by perturbation theory. Then we have to sort of describe multiple soft and collinear emissions. And finally, this hedonization and decay, they are really non-perturbative, and they have to be described by phenomenological models that have been tuned on data. And this is typically what programs like Butia do for you. So, but what we really want to do is to have NLO accuracy for the hard scattering, this first step of what I showed before, and then exploit the merits of flexible programs like Butia, Herwig, or whatever. So what are the advantages of the next leading order QCD calculation? It gives you accurate shapes at high PD, the normalization is accurate, and scale dependencies are quite significantly reduced, as we have seen before. On the other hand, shapes are wrong at low PD, and the description is only available at parton level, not at hadron level. This is something that is provided by leading order Shower Monte Carlo programs that also provide a Sudakov suppression at low PD. On the other hand, these Shower Monte Carlo programs give only a bad description at high transverse momenta, and the normalization is also available only at leading order. So ideally, one wants to merge those two approaches, keeping the advantages of both. And nowadays, this is possible basically in two approaches, the MC at NLO approach that is a bit older, and PAUHEC that has been developed about 5 to 10 years ago by Nason, and then extended by Nason and collaborators. What is PAUHEC? PAUHEC is a positive weight hardest emission generator. It is a general prescription for matching parton level NLO QCD calculations with parton shower programs. What it does is it generates the partonic event with single emission at next to leading order QCD, and then it allows all subsequent radiation to be generated by the parton shower program. And then finally, the event that is generated can be written to a file that is available in standard Lesouche format and can then be processed by experimentalists or with any parton shower program like Butia. So in principle, it is applicable to any PT ordered parton shower program. It avoids double counting of real emission contributions. That was a problem before these methods have been developed. And it has the additional advantage that it produces event with positive weights. The nice thing for phenomenologists is that tools for do-it-yourself implementation have been developed and are now publicly available in the PAUHEC books. Yeah? What is the basic idea of this PAUHEC approach? So recall the basic principle of a next to leading order calculation. Next to leading order cross section consists basically of a Born piece, virtual corrections that are regularized, then real emission contributions and counterterms. Yeah? And these live on a different phase space, so basically one first has to integrate over the radiation phase space before these pieces can be combined. On the other hand, a poor leading order shower Monte Carlo cross section has this structure. Yeah? It is basically proportional to the Born, and then it contains a Sudakov factor. The Sudakov factor is basically the probability for no emission at a scale T prime larger than T. Yeah? And then the probability for the first emission is governed by a piece like that that contains the splitting function. Good. The important point to keep in mind is that this is all proportional to the Born cross section. Now, the basic building block of the PAUHEC cross section is the following. The Born cross section is replaced with a so-called B-bar function that contains basically the building blocks of a next leading order calculation. And then instead of the regular Sudakov, one has a PAUHEC Sudakov that no longer just contains a splitting function, but the ratio of the real divided by the Born. Yeah, so now if we look at all of these pieces at one time, we see that they are really the Shower Monte Carlo cross-section, the PAUHEC cross-section, really look almost the same, but this splitting function is replaced with that. The Sudakov is replaced with the PAUHEC Sudakov, and the Born is replaced with a piece that really contains the next leading order building blocks. Okay. So based on this principle, the PAUHEC box has been developed, and the PAUHEC box is really a tool that everybody can use. So what one has to do if one wants to employ it for his own or her own calculation is to sort of just provide all the pieces that are specific to a certain process, yeah? Like in our case, VBF processes. What we have to supply in this case is just a list of the flavor structures, then a Born phase space. The real emission phase space is built automatically. We have to provide Born amplitudes, real emission amplitudes, and virtual corrections, and also some color and spin correlated amplitudes. And then all the general process independent aspects of the matching that are sort of independent of the specific process are automatically provided by the Bauegg box. And right now, quite a number of vector boson fusion processes is available in this framework. Higgs production was the first one that has been developed by Olari and Nason. And then C boson production via VBF, W and C boson production via VBF, and also W pairs of equal and opposite charge. Now let's first look at the same sign W pair production in the Bauegg box. In principle, you have two possibilities to produce this final state, which are QCT production and vector boson fusion production. And naively, one expects that the QCT contribution is much larger than the electroweak contribution just because of naive power counting. Yeah? So what we did was, this was a calculation done by Julia and collaborators, and this was a calculation done by us, and we sort of compared them in the same framework using the Bauegg box for both. And it turned out that with the identical setup, the QCT cross-section was about 2 femtobarn, the electroweak cross-section, about half of that. Yeah? But this was just with very inclusive cuts just to get sensible results. Now one can look at the distributions of these two processes and find that they're really completely different. Yeah? Here is the rapidity separation of the two tagging jets in red for the QCT production mode, in blue for the electroweak production mode, and you can see that they are completely different. Yeah? And the same is true also for the invariant mass distribution of the two tag jets. Now, if you apply cuts and remove everything that is now shown in gray, it turns out that you can very efficiently suppress the QCT contributions, but you don't lose much of the electroweak production mode, and you end up with completely different numbers. Namely, the QCT production mode now is much, much smaller than the electroweak production mode. Yeah? So after having done that, it makes sense to just look at the electroweak production mode by itself.
A simple way to understand that.
Yes. It is just because, I mean, look at this.
Even before, even the factor 2 only.
I think this sort of process is a bit special, yeah, because for the QCT production, you don't have the gluon-induced processes, which you usually have in a QCT process, but the gauge boson cannot couple to gluons. So you are only having quark processes. Yeah? So I would say this class of reactions is a bit different from others. If you would have opposite sign, W pairs, it would already be a bit different, because in that case, you have gluon-induced
processes. Still, naively, is alpha S over alpha electroweak. Yeah?
Yeah, but this tells you that you have to be a bit careful with these naive estimates, right? Okay, but now looking just at the electroweak production mode, we see that the parton shower effects are rather small for most distributions. So here we show the PT of the hardest jet and the rapidity of the hardest jet. In blue, you can see the next to leading order prediction. In red, you can see next to leading order plus parton shower, and you can see that they are almost identical. Yeah? So for this kind of distributions, the parton shower effects are, I would say, almost negligible. However, there are some distributions where this is not true. And for instance, if you look at the third jet, yeah, the third jet can only come from the real emission contributions or from the parton shower. And this third jet is quite important to understand, because it is often used in VBF processes in order to exploit so-called central jet V2 techniques. Yeah? So in order to suppress backgrounds, one puts a V2 on extra radiation in the central rapidity region, And therefore, it is important to understand this radiation properly. And now if you look at the rapidity distribution of this third jet, you can see in blue the next to leading order result, and in red the next to leading order plus parton shower result. And you can see that in particular in the central region, where you want to exploit these techniques, you get a bit of a filling by the parton shower. Yeah? So this is something that one should keep in mind when using such central jet V2 techniques.
But now, if you ask for a third jet, your power, you know, your power counting that you used before will not be valid anymore.
No.
With respect to the gluon in use process, right? I mean, you made this argument that the gluon was much smaller.
Yeah, but even in the QCT induced process, this would be a next leading order effect.
Yeah, here too, right?
Yes. So it would be an extra leading.
My question is, are you sure that now the QCD process is much smaller than? But here you're asking for a third jet.
Do you want to say something?
The number for the cross section was next to leading order, so it included, so it was really small. But if you look at the number, it's really, really much smaller. So it's true that the shape will change there too, but the number is really much smaller.
It's suppressed by two orders of magnitude.
But that number has nothing to do with this plot, because that number, you know, is down in the bean, which is not even shown in this plot. Right? So it has nothing to do with this plot.
Yeah, of course.
But
I mean,
here you're asking for a third jet. So now you should compare the three jet in one and the three jet in the other.
No? Yeah, that's right. Okay. But I mean, it's true that I think from the QCT variation you would get a completely different distribution.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Right. But I mean, now we are just talking about the signal and not about the background. Of course, I mean, also top backgrounds would really fill this region. But I mean, it is still important to just understand the signal irrespective of the backgrounds. But let's now talk about W plus, W minus plus two jets, which is, I would say, more difficult than W plus, yeah? Because it has a more, I would say, a richer singularity structure. And what is also important from a technical point of view is that it has a rather involved resonance structure, yeah? Because you have diagrams where you have a Higgs resonance. The Higgs then decays into W's, and they further decay, for instance, into leptons. But you also have diagrams which are completely without resonance contributions, and you have diagrams that have two W's that can go on shell. So typically, a modern parton level Monte Carlo would sort of apply a multi-channel integration to these sort of processes. This is not so trivial in the Powick box, so we sort of just did a trick and split the phase space into two regions, one around the Higgs resonance and one for all other values of the invariant gauge boson mass. And what you can see here is that you get two completely different distributions. Yeah. So this is the transverse mass of the gauge boson system, which is due to the Higgs resonance in blue and due to the continuum in red. Yeah. And obviously, they populate completely different regions of phase space. So it is, if you really want to get the full answer for the W pair cross section, you really need to take both into account and not only the Higgs resonance or only the W pair continuum. Okay. Another technical detail is the following. In this kind of processes, you can have singularities at Born level already that are due to configurations where, for instance, a photon goes on shell, yeah, in the T-channel. So in principle, these configurations are completely irrelevant for our phenomenological results because they go away once you apply PT cuts onto these partons that then give rise to jets. However, for sampling the phase space, we have to be inclusive, and therefore we have to apply some tricks to get rid of these singularities. And one sort of tool that is provided by the Powick box is the so-called Born suppression, where one applies a factor that makes the phase space integration more efficient and suppresses contributions of low PT. And this is what we used for our default results, and we check that our results are independent of this factor. These are the results. Similar to what we have seen before, some distributions, like the invariant mass of the gauge boson system, are completely insensitive to parton shower effects. Here again, in blue, the next to leading order result, in red, Baueck plus Pythia. On the other hand, the same story for the third jet as before, a slight decrease in the tails, but the Sudakov damping here, where the next to leading order result goes up. Okay, up to now I have just focused on the semi-leptonic final state, but in principle you can also look at the, I have focused on the fully leptonic final state, but in principle you can also look at the semi-leptonic final state, which is interesting in the sense that it has much larger branching ratios and therefore larger cross sections, and it allows a full reconstruction of the W pair system in case the W's are on-shell. On the other hand, it is plugged by really large backgrounds, and one needs sophisticated analysis techniques to isolate the signal. So we looked at this mode in a fictitious scenario with a heavy Higgs of about 400 GeV, which, I mean, the only important thing here is that this is above the two gauge boson threshold, which allows the two gauge bosons to be on-shell. And then we imposed typical VBF cuts, and we require the decay jets of the W's to be compatible with the W boson mass. However, it turns out that, for instance, the invariant mass of the decay system is quite sensitive to parton shower effects. And this is basically due to the fact that soft radiation smears the distribution of the W decay jets, and therefore this requirement that we use to select our decay jets is no longer fulfilled. Yeah? And it turns out that using boosted jet techniques in this context is a bit more, I would say, stable with respect to this smearing effect. I think I don't need to introduce the concept of boosted jet to you, but what we did in our analysis was to require that there is one heavy jet that is compatible with the decay of the W boson. To this end, we go to the highly boosted regime, where this heavy jet is, has a very large PT of about 300 or larger and is compatible with the W boson mass. In order to be really in the boosted regime, we also have to require a very hard lepton. And then this sort of combination of cuts enforces a really highly energetic W pair system. What you can see here is the distribution of the invariant mass of the decay system. And here you can see that the next to leading order results are much closer to the parton shower results than they were before. So it seems that these sort of selection criteria are not so sensitive to parton shower effects than those we showed before are. Okay, I think I don't have enough time to talk about C bosons, but let me just give you an idea what you have to do if you want to use the Baueck box. If you want to use the Baueck box for a process that we have implemented, then basically what you need is access to a computing farm, because it is rather CPU intensive. You can just download the code for free and then go to the directory of the process you're interested in. And in this process directory, you can find instructions for how to use this specific code. And we also put some sample files for input and analysis so that you really can immediately get started. But you can easily adapt these files to your own needs, provide your own analysis, your input, etc. So in summary, I would say vector boson fusion processes are really crucial for understanding the mechanism of electroweak symmetry breaking. They are very clean with respect to Higgs production and allow for an access to the couplings and CP properties. They are also sensitive to signatures of new physics in the gauge boson sector. Important prerequisites are that explicit calculations have revealed that perturbative corrections to this class of reactions are really small. Also, parton shower effects are moderate and backgrounds are well under control. If you really want to gain a quantitative understanding of vector boson fusion processes, We need precise predictions, including QCT corrections, and it would be nice to also have electroweak corrections. We need realistic predictions that are sort of obtained by matching next to leading order calculations with Parton shower programs, and it is also helpful to have sophisticated analysis techniques at hand. So that's basically all I wanted to say, and thank you for your attention.
Concerning the hadronic decay mode, so that one W goes to hadrons, the other one goes to a lepton and a neutrino. I mean, you showed this here with fairly aggressive cuts and at a PT of above 300. How low can you go with this PT cut to still have the Parton shower and the NO result close by?
I think here the issue is not this PT cut, but what is important is that we require a big fat jet. Yeah? Mm. The point that spoiled the criterion before was requiring two jets that are compatible with the W boson mass. So this was the problem. Yeah. In this context, it is much, I would say it is not really dependent on this cut, but what is important is that we require one fat jet. Mm. And if there is any other soft radiation, it will also end up in this jet. Okay. And it will not sort of spoil this criterion that we have to be close to the W boson mass. Mm.
Okay, thanks.
Can you show the seesaw picture that you had there?
Which one?
What was its meaning? You skip it. Yeah.
No, I mean, it was just sort
that is
of
an, amazing
an introduction to here, where I have two heavy gauge bosons, and here I have only one heavy gauge boson. And it turns out that due to the less massive particles in the final state, the situation is a bit more involved.
How do you treat propagators in this calculation?
Here for the what we use is some sort of complex masking for the weak boson propagators.
What is some sort?
And for the W's?
For the W's, yeah.
For both or?
For the W's and for the Higgs.
Okay.
So regarding this, so in this final state, you also have astrophated production, right?
Yes, but this we did not take into account.
So how do you separate the two?
Those are gauge invariant subsets, and by the cuts, you sort of would really suppress the associated production quite significantly.
Yeah, you said they are gauge invariant?
Yes.
Is a gauge invariant suppression?
Yeah.
So maybe I can ask you another question about the fat jet. So how fat is the fat jet?
I think we used a cone width of one.
Of one.
Cambridge Aachen.
And the mass window seems to be pretty small, plus minus 10 GeV. Usually, do you have a jet mass distribution for that jet? Or?
No, I don't have it here. I mean, you lose quite a lot of events by going to this very pulsed regime, so yeah, you could probably afford to loosen this cut a bit.
Yeah, I think it should be usually it's broader than, you know, because it's one, and on the other hand, you know, there are also this jet grooming thing you can do to try to, they are designed to get rid of, pile up, but also ISR getting into the fat cone of the jet, I think. Yeah, so I mean they should help in
yeah.
this case.
Yeah.
I mean, with the same cuts, do you have a feeling for the order of magnitude of the ordinary W plus four jet signal in this region? which in a sense would be a background to VBF there.
No, but I mean here we require a lepton neutrino system compatible with the W boson mass and a FET jet compatible with the W boson mass. So
so it must be very accidental to really fall in that.
That's what one hopes.
Yes. Any other questions? Okay, so we thank Barbara again.